Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
It's time for another Bachelor recap. It's episode 6. Yes, after 2 episodes last week, we were into episode 6 this week. What an incredible episode to have. Montreal is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. It shows up well. Again, I think Joey's season is going to some of the best places, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop. Because
it's
Jasper
so
looks awesome. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Jasper. I was like, where is this? Nobody knew where they were going. They're like, we're going to Jasper. I don't think Maria even knew.
It
and
does
she's
feel
from Canada.
Like the perfect week for a princess date. Always one of our favorites is when somebody gets to get dressed up and treated real nice. Maria has that date. Here's the big headlines as we start to break this down for me. Maria skyrockets into the top 3 for me. I am a huge supporter of Maria. I have no clue what's been happening the last few weeks. I am more confused than ever at why everybody's upset.
They dropped the storyline cleanly.
Cleanly, and it just makes me go, hey, they dropped the storyline. Everybody seems to be happy that's still there. The people that are there make sense to me. And so whatever was happening in these last few episodes, we should forget them because I don't think they were as dramatic and as detrimental to the journey of Joey and these wonderful ladies as the show tried to make it seem. Maria is in my top three, and I think she's going to stay there, maybe even top two.
I would probably agree that she seems top three right now, but he also just seems to like everyone in this top six so much. This is one of those great seasons where once you hit top six, you actually don't know what move he's going to make because all of these girls have had one-on-ones. All of these girls have like gotten multiple roses through before rose ceremonies. You know what I mean? Like they've gotten group date roses and all that. So like, yeah. It's going to be shocking, honestly, whoever gets eliminated next week.
Isn't it great? I mean, I can't remember a season like this where we already know the top six and we're so invested into each of them. Like some seasons at the top six, we're like, we don't even know this person. Like, what are they still doing here? Like, obviously they're going home next week.
Usually there's one rando that you're like, you didn't have a one-on-one. Like, why? What?
What are we doing here? This doesn't make sense. So, Ashley, to kind of kick this off, my curiosity comes back to you then to say, what has made this season so good when it comes down to the top six? Now, you just mentioned that Joey likes all of them. They've all had one-on-ones. They've gotten roses, all those things. But I don't know if that is the delta that's made this different than past seasons. What about this top six feels different?
We do know them better, but I don't know why we know them better. They've all gotten a lot of screen time, but it doesn't feel like some of the girls that have already left didn't get screen time. Like, I feel like we've just, I don't know what it's been.
I have an answer.
Okay.
I really think it's the lack of drama. I think the lack of drama allows the space for people's personal stories to be shared and for us to
They should have not had any drama then because we all know that the drama that they did have was stupid.
But it really didn't take up that much time. Like, I know we had an episode where it felt like it was kind of like filtering through the whole thing, but in the midst of the drama, we still saw one-on-ones. We still saw stories. The drama was not the like episode cliffhanger every time for the first 5 weeks. It took up an episode. But in past seasons recently, drama has taken up the first five episodes fairly consistently, other than the first episode. So 2 through 5, all drama. It's all chaos. Everybody's arguing. Somebody's mad at somebody else. We're waiting for that person to get home because the villain, we just don't want to see him there. This season, call Sydney whatever you call her. If you just call her, you know, a nuisance, if you call her cringy, if you call her a villain, or if you just call her misunderstood, whatever you want to call her, she would definitely be known as the person that was most focused on when it comes to the drama of the season. But even then, we didn't really get to know Sydney. Like, it wasn't like her screen time was that much more than other women. And as a result, I think we got to know him. And I think that's what we've been missing is love conquers the drama. And that's what we want.
That's what we want. And that's what we've gotten.
That's what we've gotten.
It's been great. It's been awesome. Been a very well done season. I'm really happy
in the future too. Like, let's just keep this going. We don't need the most dramatic season ever. In fact, Ashley, I do have a question. I don't know. Out of curiosity, does Jesse start the season saying this is going to be the most dramatic season ever?
No, I don't remember having an intro like that because remember we had that scene that you thought was from Charity season, which was the moment at the altar, the rose ceremony altar.
Yeah. So in the past, obviously, we started the season by saying this is going to be the most dramatic season ever. It obviously, people feel like it has to live up to it. The show for a long time was trying to live up to that. I think it was a downhill slide for them. So we're kind of reversing course. It feels like a season of the past. Let's dive into it. They're again in Montreal. Jesse is the first to see the women. It is beautiful. It looks gorgeous. And what Jesse explains from the very beginning is that there's going to be a group date and 2 one-on-ones. Everybody's getting a date this week. The first date is a group date. It's a scavenger hunt. Ashley, this felt like it was set up to be an awkward date to me. Like, I was thinking it obviously felt awkward. The girls kind of felt disconnected going into the cocktail party. It kind of felt like one of those dates where Joey was never going to really be able to win or to make them feel seen, because everybody's running around like crazy in their own little groups instead of maybe competing in a sporting event where Joey could kind of stand on the sidelines. A group date for me,
yeah.
When I did it, like, these would always be the most intimidating because there's no way to give everybody equal attention. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you obviously have people that are feeling very pushed aside because they didn't get the one-on-one. So they're already mad and they're kind of bringing down the vibe of the group.
Yeah.
It's really hard to navigate.
Yeah. This is definitely gets to be to the point where there are people, there are like a few that haven't had one-on-ones and they're like super sad. And then those people who have had one-on-ones and they're like, I've had a one-on-one. I can't do a group date anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So that's always difficult. I mean, my takeaway, my biggest memory from this, though, was honestly them making poutine and Jen's connection with him there and him saying that he feels like she really stands out moments like that. And she's able to make it seem like it's just the two of them. And she doesn't feel the threat of the other women around her.
Talk about somebody that we could learn from when it comes to how you navigate a group date.
I know. I was honestly jealous watching her.
Yeah, she was like,
she really
it.
Is. Yeah,
she's so
she
good
really
at it.
Is so comfortable. And I was, it brought me back to those moments and how I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to stand out or like even like speak when there's other girls around, because even just like saying like one random sentence in the group makes you feel like everybody's going to go and analyze that sentence. Yeah. And you're like, is that stupid? Should I even say it in the first place? I just said it so that like I would say something.
Yeah, I never wanted attention on the group dates, really. It was never like it never made me feel any better or worse to get attention on the group dates, quite honestly. It was just, it kind of felt like something I could stand in the background of and let everybody else who really wanted to stand out, and I would then have my time at some point. Like, I always knew
at
I'd
the
have
night
my
time,
yeah,
right?
I'd always have my yeah. time. I just didn't need to be the funniest or the most outgoing or be the one like hanging on the lead.
Ben, that's just because you're naturally so alluring and like appealing.
No, that's really sweet. That, like, you should ask my wife.
That you wouldn't need to do that.
Well, I also just think it would make me, like, you kind of, like you were saying, my point was it made me uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to be in a group setting and be the one that like kisses the lead. That is awkward. Yeah. That is weird. Yeah. In a sense, I found it inappropriate. I still find it inappropriate to watch. Like, give that space to do that in your private time. It could just be me, but it was never something that I desired. Now, there is a huge difference here, and I think the big point of this group day leads into the cocktail party, and you have the difference of Jen, who I think could be really hysterical if we just like saw more of her. I mean, the few lines that she said on this episode made me laugh. Like, she once studied abroad and the only thing she learned how to say was, I'm not wearing underwear. Like, I think that was actually like really funny. And it was like a really like lighthearted way for her to enter into this date.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. And then, so you have Jess who's freaking out, and I don't want to say I told you so.
No, you did though, and I agreed with you last week. I said she's leaving, and I knew that she would leave on the group date.
Well, I said this at the very first episode, Ashley.
No, I know, you're right. You called it. She does have that, like, there's just a vibe she puts out there that's like, oh, she's just gonna say too much too soon. She's gonna, and he's gonna be like, nope, don't feel that way because you said that. I gotta let you go. But he would have let her go at the rose ceremony either way. But he obviously let her go on the group date because she was like, I'm falling. And he was like, I am not.
Yeah.
This is unfair to keep you around. It was just, the writing was so on the wall.
And it's good. I think it's good of a lead. Now, that would have been up to him. The show is not saying, hey, she's going to come in and say this to you. And
yeah.
No, like in that moment, and it is kind of an unspoken rule. I remember I sent somebody home. I don't know exactly who. on a group date and the producers freaked out because they're like,
oh, really?
Well, they're like, we won't have a rose ceremony this week. Like, you don't have any other, like, at for whatever reason, enough people had gone home where they're like, we need,
like, our number was yeah, three.
We needed six next week and we are down to six. So
did you not have a rose ceremony?
No, we got it canceled.
No way. Okay, well, then the girls this week were doing the math and they thought there was going to be only three girls eliminated with Lexi having decided to leave. And yeah, they thought that rose ceremony was just going to eliminate one girl.
Well, at this point, Leia had kind of, it was not a shocker, right?
No.
She had definitely, I think they thought maybe she could stick around and play a role to, you know, cause a little chaos. I don't think at this point it makes sense for chaos to be brought in because I really don't know if any of the women here really give any time to chaos or any type of drama. I think they would all be like, yeah, you're good. Like, you do whatever you got to do, but I'm not listening to this. With Jess gone, I think the show, I think it was like, no, Leia's gone. Caitlin was one. I do feel like we didn't see a lot of her. It never really felt like they clicked. Even in their last conversation, it just felt like it was too far gone. The show had moved past, you know, kind of where their relationship stood. I did see a funny meme that I really hadn't even thought about, but it was like, I bet Leia wishes she would have kept that card now to get the one-on-one date because that because she never got one.
Oh yeah, that's because she would have gone on a one-on-one and wouldn't have gotten, and she would have gotten eliminated on it. What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just absolutely wild, though. Just the scene with Jess. I want to dig into that a little bit. I think that's a good move from Joey, is to send somebody home in that manner, because what he did get to do is explain himself a little bit and walk her out.
And not walk her out in front of the other girls, which I was petrified of.
Yeah, it was just, it would have been too awkward. And so I know it feels a little cold maybe, but that is the most sensitive way, given the framework of the show, to actually send somebody home, is to do it like he did it with Jess. It just gives
he's
more time
so
than ever.
Good. He's so good, Ben. He's like, he really reminds me, like, I think you're the closest one of his like demeanor.
He's good.
Like, I think you were the last one who had like such a kind and warm demeanor in moments like this.
Well, he's really good. And I was waiting for this moment. We talked about it a little bit last week. You know, I think Joey is absolutely fantastic. I have nothing but great things to say about him. I think he is authentic. I think he is genuine. I think he is trying his best in this moment to not only do this journey well, but also make the women that come feel cared for, or maybe they're happy that they at least gave it a shot with him. Mm-hmm. I think all those things mark a really great lead, and I think Joey is that. The one thing I was confused about up to this point, or just waiting for maybe, was where is Joey's empathy at? Because yes, he does respond well in the midst of these stories, and he does respond. You can tell he cares and you can tell he listens, but everything to this point has marked that Joey is feeling this also. Remember last week we talked about how heavy this must be on him, hearing these true stories, these really incredible like stories of coming through hardship each and every week, maybe multiple times a week, and how much that he must have felt it. But he really wasn't showing that it was affecting him too much until this week.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about talking about the opening scene.
Until this week. And I think we saw, I think it, for me, what it did was I don't know how else to say this other than making it sound insensitive. It checked one more box off for me when it comes to Joey. And I said, no. He is feeling this. Like, he is in this. He's not just crying because he's hurt. He's crying because this has been so overwhelming. He's feeling like maybe he's going to get rejected and maybe that he's not going to be loved like he loves somebody else. But I don't think he shows this emotion unless he's really feeling all the emotions that have been communicated to him throughout the course of The Bachelor so far. And so I said, no, okay. He is in it. Like this dude is feeling everything, which is beautiful to watch. And I feel for him because it's so hard when you're doing that and you're in that and every moment just, you know, kind of like hits your heart.
So do you think that he is hearing these stories and thinking like, I won't be able to support these women the way that they'll need me to? Or do you think he's just having a totally separate moment where he's just like, everybody thinks I'm perfect and I'm not, and I'm having an identity crisis sort of thing? Because again, this reminded me of you and like the whole perfect Ben thing, and like they didn't put that umbrella over him the way that they did for you, but it's reminding me of a episode with Charity where he was like, they don't really know the real me, I don't know if I really know the real me, like I'm not that great. And I'm like, that's what Jared went through with me. He was always like, she thinks I'm the most amazing man in the entire world, and I cannot live up to that because I am so flawed. And if only she knew what I was really liked behind closed doors, she would never have this interest in me. And I feel like that's coming into play here with Joey. But I'm also like, at the same time, thinking about the Charity episode and being like, Joey, is there something dark and scary about you that we're not seeing? Because this is the second time you're bringing it up like this.
No, I mean, I think it's an irrational. I mean, I think for him, he's there's humility being shown. I think he realizes he's human. And I also think that, and I can speak to this a little bit from experience because you're right. I mean, you know, I've talked about it, but when I remember watching in Jamaica, the trailer for my season that came out and the tagline was "The Perfect Ben," I broke down because I knew that one, it felt like it was inauthentic. It felt like one, the show was communicating in me in a way that I did not believe was true. And two, it was just setting me up for failure. It was just setting me up to disappoint somebody at some point. And I thought, this is that I broke down. So I can speak to this a little bit with what Joey's expressing. I think a little bit of it is humility. I think also a little bit of it is the situation he's in. You know, Joey's an attractive dude, right? But I don't believe that he was walking around Hawaii and every girl was swooning over him. I'm sure the girls were like, "Oh, he's so cute."
Well, he didn't have this haircut.
Well, he didn't have the haircut. But
I don't know what happened to this man. Okay, I'm just gonna say it one more time. On charity season, I was like, "Yeah, I guess he's cute. Yeah, okay, he's cute." And now I'm like, "That is a hot man."
Yeah. Well, and so I do think when you get in a situation like this, and you have all these incredible women that are staying around for you, and you're emotional because all these women have incredible stories and they're expressing themselves to you and they're expressing their feelings to you. And you're like, you feel uncomfortable, quite honestly. You don't, I think good leads don't ever really feel like they're the bachelor. You know, they don't go into it being like, "Yes, come here, ladies. Like, you want to date me. Like, you're lucky to be with me." I think when it comes to Joey, he's humble. He's not used to this. And he's creating all these stories in his head, mostly around. And what I think he's pointing to is at the end of this, if I am lucky enough to be with one of these amazing women, they're going to be greatly disappointed in who I am and what my life looks like. You know, I mean, right now, I think he's publicly said he lives with his sister.
Yeah. Jared had that insecurity too. He was like, "Do you know what? She has no idea, like, the lifestyle I will be able to give her right now."
Yeah. So I do think there's a lot of emotion being expressed through his concerns. And I think we have to look past what he's saying. And when it comes to these women think I'm perfect, and look more into what he's actually trying to communicate, which is, I don't know if they really know me. It's not like I have a deep, dark secret. It's not like I don't think I'm a good dude. I wouldn't sign up for this if I didn't think I was at least able to be married, or at least maybe husband material. However, I do think I'm going to fall short of their expectations of me, and that scares me. I think it's a real fear, and I think it's a fear that I hope we get to see more of, or at least him communicate more of, because I think it's only going to make us more related, or like feel more relatable to him.
Do you think that they're building this up though for him to get dumped at the altar? And like, because it seems like that, like, it's, they're trying to build a story now.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened?
No.
He's too close to Joey, guys. He knows things.
I think we'll get a happy ending because he's kind of pointed to that. I do believe we're going to get a happy ending here. I don't think we should set ourselves up as viewers to believe that this is going to be a really sad story.
Okay.
Or ending. I do, though, think that, unfortunately, the signs are all pointing, based on the fact that six women left, and as you said it, he feels all six of them, and he's into all six of them. These next few episodes are going to be heart-wrenching to watch.
Yeah.
He is going to be torn to pieces because he has to send some of these home. He's not going to understand why he's sending so-and-so home, because they, in any other given circumstance, could be somebody he would see himself being spending his life with. Every week from here on out is going to be heart-wrenching, and it sucks. It's so hard. I've been in it, and it's so hard. He's going to be in his room bawling his eyes out, being like, "What in the world did I sign up for?"
I'm so sad for him, but I'm just so happy for
I know.
Us.
I'm so pumped. I'm so excited.
I'm so sorry, Joey. Okay, wait. Let's talk about something else right now. Lexi and her decision to leave on her own, because it is at the group date where she poses the question to him. like, what is your timeline if you leave here with somebody? And he does say 2 to 3 year long engagement, which is a long time for an engagement in my point of view. But I'm taking into consideration this is a different process. And in his mind, it's probably like, well, we're kind of dating for 1.5, 2 years. Then we'll plan the wedding, get married then. So that would have thrown me off of our Lexi, 30-year-old Lexi with endometriosis, who has talked on Instagram recently about how she had just frozen her eggs. Like, 2 weeks before going on The Bachelor, she was still recovering from that. She actually said that she felt so insecure about how puffy her face was. I'm like, girl, are you kidding me? Like a supermodel. So they both handled that conversation really well. He was so honest. And then she, I'm sure, was very disappointed in hearing the answer, but still like took it really well. And then a couple days later, she mulls it over and just realizes that that's not something that she can't work with that timeline. He does say that for the right person, he could, like, it could change. So my question to you is, do you think she should have stayed a week or two longer, bearing that she was going to get roses during that time? Or did she make the right decision in leaving? Because maybe she could have been the person to change his mind, even though I know we said last week after their one-on-one that we didn't feel such strong chemistry between them. But when she left, Joey certainly made it seem like they had something really strong and big.
You think? I would disagree with that.
But you think that he was just trying to be nice? What do you think?
No, I think if your future wife walks out at this point in time, you would be broken. No.
Okay, I'm going to change. I'll do this for you.
Like, you would be like almost at a point where you like beg, or you're like, no, please don't, please don't. Then once they decide to leave, you get like, you feel like the world's swirling around you. I don't feel like that really happened to him.
Okay.
I think he cared about her, and I think he saw her in a great light, but I think both of them knew that this was not going to be their forever person.
See, I thought that she knew that, which is why she made the decision, but he just seemed like he said something really intense. Like,
it would have been one of Joey's greatest fears would be at this point in time, hit one of his top three women leaving. Like, it would crush him. I'll tell you that. It would destroy him.
If we're talking like Kelsey or Daisy telling him this,
like, it's different.
Yeah.
I think Kelsey, Daisy, I don't think I could put Maria in there. Kelsey T, I would put in there. Probably Rachel, I'd put in there still. I think Maria might be in my top three, but I don't think Joey's fully convinced yet. Uh-huh. I think there was like too much in the middle of their relationship. Mm-hmm. But I would say, if, let's just use Daisy as an example, if Daisy came to him and said, I'm going to go home, he would be a wreck. Like, you would see a different reaction. So it didn't, I think it's a good decision by her, and I think it makes sense. I think it's a very mature decision to make. I know it's hard to leave this show because you're having a great time and you want to know where you're going next, and it's exciting to be with the women, and Joey's great. And so you're still into kind of dating him and having this experience. But for her to say, hey, you know what? Like, I want things that maybe you don't want at this point. I've been thinking about it, and it's time for me to go home. Like, very mature of her. The sad part is, I don't know how much more we'll see of her. Like, I don't think she's the next Bachelorette. So it's just sad, because I enjoyed watching her on television.
But that's why we need Paradise to happen, guys, because it's really too sad to have, like, to grow an attachment to these characters and then never to see them again.
I know.
It's,
I agree,
really
with you.
Really weird.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand, and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy.
We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all. With 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Kelsey T's up next with the one-on-one, right? Kelsey T has a one-on-one. Been very excited for Kelsey T to have her moment because she's been amazing and she's been patient. And I know that she started to speak out recently, like, hey, I want a one-on-one. It wasn't shocking that she got it this week. It was really cool that she got it this week. That date sucked. It was awful.
Okay. Yeah. I know that he had, like, you know, the motion sickness and all that. I kind of dazed out of that.
Yeah. Cirque du Soleil is so cool. Like, the concept of it was awesome. And they could have been doing really cool stuff with Cirque du Soleil. Like, they could have been... There's so many parts of that show that they could have experimented with and seen and enjoyed. I think Cirque du Soleil is one of the coolest acts I've ever seen with my own eyes. I was excited when they say we're going to train with Cirque du Soleil. The problem is they literally like said, hey guys, we're going to put you in the most gut-wrenching, literally, things that Cirque du Soleil does. We're going to spin you in a circle as fast as you can. We're going to hang you from your feet and we're going to spin you around. We're going to get you in this weird, like, you know, rat race circle thing. And we're going to spin you around again. This was awful. Like, who set this up? No, like, nobody wants to do this all the time. Especially if you aren't trained for it. It could have been cute. It could have been exciting. It could have been fun. It could have been great promotion for Cirque du Soleil. Instead, it just looked like it would make my stomach hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So they didn't have any moments of real bonding there because he did feel so sick.
Yeah.
It's a wasted afternoon, really. But then we go to the dinner time, and I know you're going to disagree with me. I actually didn't think that he felt it so much.
Why do you
there
think
was
that?
A moment where I was like, is she going to share this story and then not get the rose? Mm. You didn't pick up on that?
It's hard for me because I don't have a lot to compare it to as of recent when it comes to incredible dates. I mean, Rachel was close. I would maybe say in general, it feels like at times on these one-on-ones, they aren't connecting in a way that the Daisies and the Kelsey A's connect. And so everybody else is kind of matching up to it. And maybe that's what we're comparing to.
That. Like she told the story and then like, I just felt like he was like,
Yeah.
And it could have been editing here. You know what I mean?
But also like, how do you respond?
I don't know. I think that's actually probably the answer, Ben.
Yeah,
is that he probably just didn't really know how to respond. And especially with it being like your first date, like he probably didn't want to get into religion, especially with the cameras there. Like that's probably a conversation that he's like, you know what? We can save this for the fantasy suite if you get there.
Well, and you know, it's different. I don't know what Joey's like faith tradition looks like. I don't know where he comes from personally. For me, it was always a big topic. And so we talked about our faith and kind of how we saw the foundation of our lives and all that quite often because it was so important to me. It was probably, it was definitely very prevalent. It never got showed. It was never a topic that was ever showed because I think the show stays away from it for the most part. But it was always a very common conversation because it is just common in my life. I'm curious more than anything about people's face or lack of face or where, you know, why the beliefs are the way they are. Like it's a curiosity for me. I think when it comes to Kelsey one, again, a really like, courageous story to share. I know that she hasn't shared it often and I know how hard it would be in this environment to share it. So I don't want to like not fully appreciate what she was sharing. I do think, and somebody actually, I think on my Instagram, gave me the official medical word for this. But I'm not going to say it. I mean, I wish I could. I can't remember what it was said, but thank you for sending me that because it does make sense. He's emotionally exhausted. And when you get emotionally exhausted, no matter what somebody's sharing with you, like you don't have, I mean, at least for me, you get brain fog and you're like, I don't know what to say again.
Yeah. He's really had like the right thing to say. And then he was probably just like, I don't have it in me right now.
No. And I mean, I think that's very fair. And that's why I don't want to underemphasize just how, like, I think with this season, we're getting a good picture of how hard it is to be the lead. And I'd never love when people are like, it's the hardest thing I've ever done because quite frankly, it's wild. And there's, you know, if The Bachelor is the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, you've got a lot of growing up to do. But I don't want to underemphasize just how difficult this is, especially when you care to be in these moments time after time after time after time after time again, because you're not trained for it. You're not a therapist. You're not in ministry. You're not a psychologist. You're just sitting there taking it and trying to feel it with these people and you get tired of it. You get exhausted. And you don't always have the right words. And sometimes you don't even like have any empathy left, at least in my situation. And so I just think that Joey's at a point where he's ready to start having fun again.
Okay. Well, I feel bad for even pointing it out now.
No, I mean,
he was off. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't off.
Word to say. He could have been off. That's okay, right? Ashley, as humans, how often are you off? You're off often. I'm off often. Like, it's okay to be off. You're expecting a dude or a woman to be on for 40 straight dates and to be like nailing it and to be in it. No, we're getting a picture of the human experience. And the human experience is over time, you get tired. Yeah. And you can only handle so much until you need boundaries and you maybe need to disappear for a few days. You know, Joey's talked about how he's an introvert. He isn't as outgoing as others. He probably at this point is like, all I need is 3 days to go and be silent and sit alone. And he ain't going to get it.
He totally said that in the beginning of the episode. He said, like, I'm not the guy that's like, woo, I want to have fun and I want to be out there and talking all the time.
Yeah. I mean, he probably is desiring alone time. He's probably desiring to just breathe. And he isn't going to get it. And so we're just going to see him get really tired and really burnt out until, you know, he'll find a way to kind of revive himself for those next 2 weeks. But I remember after my season, I slept for like a full 2 days. I could not wake up. Like, you were just in a fog of like confusion. What just happened?
Well, you also had like a tapeworm, you know, so.
Yeah, it's a good excuse. Well, so we go from Kelsey Teasdale, where she did get a rose. She was amazing on it. Is the connection where others are? I don't think so, but it does feel like there's something there. Where Kelsey T, I think, will be around a while still.
Do you really think a while? Because think about a while right now. Because it's like, does she get a hometown next or does she not?
Yeah, I think she gets a hometown.
Yeah. You think she gets a hometown?
I think she gets a hometown.
I think you have to think about your math right here. Because I think you're immediately going to give a hometown to, as you've said, Maria, Daisy, I think Kelsey A. And then, all right, so then you're saying in the toss-up between Rachel, Kelsey T., and who am I missing?
Jen,
you're going to give that one to Kelsey T.
I am.
Okay.
I am. That's my vote right now. That's my prediction. But we do have the one-on-one with Maria. I think Maria shined bright. She was awesome. She really was. I don't have any other words for Maria and in this date than I watched it and I was like, She's into Joey. She's feeling these moments. I was emotional with her. I think it was a spectacular date, Ashley. And it was good for me also because it felt like it was a date that moved us past the Maria storyline where, like, we don't know if she's causing chaos. We don't know what she's actually saying. Why are all these people so mad at her all the time? To know that this is her moment. Like, that's gone and she made it through it. And now her and Joey get to figure this thing out again. I really like this date.
It was a great date. It was a good date. She is so easy to watch on TV. She's so comfortable. I don't know whether there's a combination of her just being comfortable with Joey, comfortable probably flirting and with men. I feel like she just has that personality. That combined with her comfort in front of the camera, like, she just seems totally herself, like, no reservations.
Yeah, she does. I mean, and she seems totally herself with Joey. She seems super into him. Like, there's no question in my mind that she's not there to try to make this work with him. She hasn't even, I mean, you would almost expect her to have the personality of maybe past contestants where they're always trying to be showy or shown or be the center of attention. She doesn't have that. She just feels like a good big personality who's confident and who says what she thinks. And as a result, maybe rubs people the wrong way. But for the most part, it just feels like Maria's Maria. And that's okay. And I think Joey's into it.
He's so into it. She's definitely different than the others. The others have like more of a serious relationship. They have a more playful relationship. When I watch them together, it feels like watching a couple like at a bar on a first date being flirty. Mm-hmm. And this feel like when they're on a date, I feel like this seems like really authentic. This doesn't seem like a bachelor date to me. This just seems like me like kind of spying in on somebody else's actual date.
Yeah, it feels very, it does feel very real in so many ways. And so that's why I said Maria skyrockets into the top three for me. Now, before
she's also so confident. And I'm like, I'm a little jealous of how like she can just strut out of the dressing room and just be like, hey, what do you think I look like in this? Like, I would feel so awkward.
Sure.
I love the princess date, the pretty woman date, whatever you want to call it. But like, for me to have to model clothes for a guy that I've never been on a one-on-one date with before, I would feel so awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great. I mean, I do. I think she's really good for the show too. I think the show fits her because she is more confident and she can do all that stuff and not be scared of it. And I'm just really happy for her, outside of everything else, that she got to move on from really probably feeling hated in the house at times. And I don't love that feeling. That wasn't like a really fun couple episodes to watch. So before we give our top threes, they are in Jasper, Canada next week. It looks gorgeous. There's nothing of note really in the kind of teaser, other than a few people crying, Jen specifically crying, saying she's scared to lose Joey, which is a big change because Jen at this point has been happy-go-lucky, you know, hasn't really had as much television time as others. We don't know her. We probably know her the least out of all of the ladies left. So something happens where they connect and she really starts to share her heart with Joey and she starts to fall. We also see Maria say she doesn't know if she can do this anymore. So there's obviously going to be emotions that come up. I hope it's from love and not from drama, but it feels like it's going to be all from love.
From love, yeah.
Yeah, it's all going to be from love and just everybody's emotions at this point are being sky high. They're just sky high. And as Ashley and I have mentioned, I don't know who he's really going to send home. I mean, I did give my prediction. I don't know if it's right, Ashley. I think Kelsey A and Daisy are the two for me that sit confidently going forward. I think Maria then would come third. So let's give our top three for me in this order. It goes Kelsey A, Daisy, Maria.
Kelsey A, Daisy for me. And then, yeah, I think, can I copy you?
You can copy me.
Because I think it might be Maria too. I want to say it could have been Jen, but now if you're talking about the scenes in the next episode, there is a little doubt in there. Can I just also mention that how I think that Kelsey is standing strongly at like my top spot because it was a sexy moment. I like looked over at Jared while I was watching it. I was like, that was cute, but like he didn't even notice. He wasn't watching, and I was just like, that was swoony.
Oh no!
He said to her, she said, "Like I'm falling in love with you," and he was like, "What did you just whisper? Did you just whisper that?" He's like, "Say it louder," and I was like, "Whoa!" It was hot.
See, I think you know what I thought.
What?
He's so good at this that he was like, "Hey, the camera, the audio couldn't pick that up, so you got to say that louder."
No,
that's what I thought.
That is not what he did.
Okay,
the
good.
Way that well, the look in his eye when he said it, it was a great moment. That was a movie moment.
Oh, come to Papa Joey. Hey, it's going to be a great season. We've given you our top threes. We're excited for next week. We're very invested. So until next time, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See you guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks. And we host Stages Podcast. Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.